Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to start the next session, which is the Registrant Rights and Responsibilities Working Group meeting on Tuesday, the 16th of October, local time 4:30 p.m. in Toronto. Chair Holly Raich. Yet again, a reminder, please, to say your names when speaking for transcript purposes, but also for our lovely interpreters who have already had a long day. Thank you. Holly, over to you.
And for the record, now, next, my slides are coming up. We have a couple of issues to deal with. First of all, do we disband? Because, in fact, the reason for the formation of the GNSO working group was actually completed in that it resulted in negotiations. We could draw a line under that and say, finish, end story. On the other hand, we've got Carlton saying no, and I'm not going to let you have the microphone, because, in fact, there were plenty of issues that were raised by that working group. It's in the final report. For anybody who really can't sleep tonight, you're welcome to read the 128 pages. We'll send you the link. I put on my slides, which Matt is about to put up, the two teams, the result of the two teams. One was an aspirational charter. It was hard fought. We lost. All we got was an aspirational charter. But there are issues there that at some point in the future we could pick up, and that may be reason enough alone to keep that working group going. The other is there were lots of issues that we identified, not all of which are the subject of RAA negotiations. So there is plenty of future work to do, and it has to do with the RAA and its adequacy and what's there and what can be improved. That would be a long-term goal. The short-term goal, which we can either deal with under this or Carlton's group, who is, because he's going to follow me, but he's going to agree that his group and my group get together, so that's fine. Thank you very much, Carlton. Is what we discovered yesterday in conversation with the compliance working group, and it became very clear that the bottom line for the RAA does not allow the kind of penalty that says, by the way, registrars, if you keep putting in name after name after name, registrant name after registrant name after your name, and they keep getting knocked back, there doesn't seem to be a penalty. Now, Garth, can you add to the sort of disquiet we had yesterday? What it wound up with was several of us raising our eyebrows and saying, it's time to write to the board to say, we know that you're working through many improvements to the RAA, but at the end of the day, if there isn't a way to say, you registrars are just, you're just letting criminals in and you don't care, we're going to do away with you, termination is my term, then we can do something along those lines. It would obviously be far more eloquent and far more evidence and so forth, but, and maybe the feeling of the group, do we actually want to discuss that really high-level problem we identified yesterday, or just create some of us that can go away, read through the negotiation documents, such as they are, pointing out that all we've had a public briefing, we know what they've said. Carlton and I sat there yesterday, I took notes, I sent around a report to everybody, so that's the extent of what we know. There are some hints about what's happening, but we didn't actually hear the kind of hint that said there should be a drop-dead line after which some registrars just ought to be drawn, hung and quartered is the term. Now, Garth, have I got that right?
You do, but I might want to just add a few points when you are out of breath.
How long do you want to wait? Go ahead.
Thank you, Garth Bruin, Chair of Neuralo, for the record. What Holly's referring to, and just so everybody is clear and on the same page, I, in particular, for several years, have been researching the issue of false who is and compliance, and I can say that I somewhat fell down the rabbit hole, and to a certain extent, I hit the bottom, because what we found is that a very, very important portion of the contract does not appear to be enforceable. And this is actually confirmed within the Who Is Working Group report that ICANN is supposed to respond to. Now, the issue is that any deletions or suspensions of domain names in relation to reports of who is inaccuracy are completely at the discretion of the registrar. And that's actually the term that I believe compliance used in their own presentation, is that it is at the discretion of the registrar, which means that it is not a breachable offense if they do not do it. So there actually is no way to enforce this part of the contract. And I bring this up because this problem, as it is not part of the negotiations. And it's not just us who have said this. This is in the Who Is review team report. So, and I don't think that this is just, sorry, Holly, you can keep eating your banana. This is not just about criminality and abuse. This is actually also about registrants' rights and the consumers of domain names, because there is no policy at the top level in terms of the contract. It means that the policy is pushed down to the whim of the registrar. And the domain customer themselves don't know what that policy is going to be and don't know where the line is until they cross that line as far as the registrar is concerned. So we've been talking about very extreme cases of persistent abuse and criminality, but this may also be a problem of just the domain consumer not knowing where they stand. Thank you.
Okay. That having been said, I think I would like now to ask sort of two questions, or maybe one. Number one, are people happy to continue with this particular working group and it picking up where the GNSR working group left off, and that is continuing to identify issues than the RAA that we feel need improvement over time that are not being picked up in the current negotiations that are still issues? And let me give you an example. The RAA actually refers to a code of practice that people should comply with. Well, in fact, there is no code of practice at all. And it may be that either you get a code of practice or something that says, this is what we believe good registries and registrars should do, and, you know, whether it's voluntary or mandatory or whatever, that is a piece of work in and of itself. There are also other issues. I mean, I haven't gone through the 20 pages of issues. I'm sure there's stuff. So do people want to continue this group with those terms of reference? Sindra.
Hi, Holly. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to really welcome you as chair of this group. And and I do think that this working group remains relevant. And I also think that in actually defining our scope or what our next steps are, you know, as I told you just now, you know, like I would be happy to do a mind map, just since, you know, there's so much text to read through and so many ongoing issues that may have been sorted by the negotiations. I would be happy to produce that for you so that the working group can really assess the next steps.
Look, Sindra, that would be fantastic, and I must learn to turn my mic off. I would suggest you work with one other person if somebody else wants to put their hand, because it's two things. It's, first of all, going through the suggestions from the final RAA report that we did and I'll be happy to send out a link, and put that against, and there's lots of documentation in terms of the negotiation. There's the actual updates on the negotiation, but then there are also there are other documents, the specification, there's, you know, if you go on the website, there are probably 5 or 6 relevant documents. It is a lot of work, and my suggestion is, I'm happy to read through a couple, but that could be a task that will lead us to future work for this group. So are people happy with that? And we've got an action item on Sintra and probably my and Evan.
Hi, this is Evan. What you're talking about, Holly, absolutely needs to keep going, if for no other reason than ALAC has a bylaw mandate from the ICANN board that is different from that of the GNSO. We have the right and we have the obligation to extend what we're doing beyond the confines of the GNSO. And where that becomes relevant here is in, for instance, the issue of enforcement, which is outside policy, but is in the realm of implementation of the policy, execution of it, and within and something that's very much within the realm of ALAC, and we have been very active in it. But my own concern right now is, just as a show of hands, how many people here are also involved in the Who Is working group? No. The reason I'm asking is because I have a concern about cross purposes and cross pollination. Who Is to me is a core component of registrant rights and responsibility, as in it's a responsibility to have accurate contact information, to me is a part and parcel of all of this. So going back to the earlier conversation that happened about cross purposes and communications between working groups, I'm a little concerned of having two semi-parallel groups essentially butting up against each other so often as to wonder if it's necessary to keep them separate. And I'll leave it at that. So the short-term answer is, yes, this has to be done. My concern is simply a matter of duplication and stuff that is really common purpose but maybe unnecessarily going in parallel. That's all I'll say.
Thank you, Evan. I think then maybe the terms of reference for the RAA is, if it's about who is, and that includes what data is included, it includes our push for thick who is, those sorts of things. If those are identified as issues that are outstanding, they get flicked past. So I don't think we touch, because there were other things that we talked about in that sort of long list of issues, we identify those and then we will have to prioritise those in, you know, what particular issues. If it's who is, you get it. Now, I think my other question is, there is an immediate something that we need to do, and maybe it's part of the Who Is group, I'm not sure, but the immediate thing was to put our heads together about compliance with Who Is requirements, that when we found out that there simply is nothing to say to anybody, by the way, if you do wrong, you know, you get shot. And it's the first thing that Garth said as well. So I don't know if we want to make that an immediate thing that this group does now, quite apart from the groups, from the working groups, or if that belongs to Who Is, because really we were concerned about the lack of penalty in the context of the discussion of Who Is. So, I mean, maybe that is what you guys do, only I'm one of you guys.
Okay, so to that extent, Who is a part of the whole package, but a significant enough subpart that it deserves its own attention, I guess.
Just one point, though. In this, in the website, it talks about us including 3.7.8. I actually think that's your baby.
3.7.8?
It's your baby.
Well, this is Carlton for the record. Actually, as I see it now, 3.7.8 is probably the single most important thing for registrant rights, because what we're talking about is compliance. That's the piece that we are concerned about, because it does not give enforcement power. And we have two issues with that. First of all, it is a deliberate disavowal. It's a deliberate, they stay away from it deliberately because they don't want to be seen as a regulator. That is a bad word. And so I don't believe that you're going to get any change in 3.7.8 to talk about enforcement unless you get over this hurdle that they place in the way of saying, we are not a regulator. Okay, so we're not going to talk about regulation. But what we can talk about is what it is that protects the consumer from harm. So let us change the language a little bit and see how we do that. Now, if we tie it into protecting the consumer from harm, we can weave that into registrants' rights and responsibilities fairly seamlessly. That's my thinking for the minute about it. But that's the heart of what we want to get at, really.
Okay, the map we've got, 3.7.8 is back with RAA, but if you look at the terms of reference, the most immediate term of reference for us is 3.7.8 and the compliance issues around that. That's number one, our task. Number two, our task longer term, and by the way, we're changing this from a GNSO working group to an ALAC working group, which means, Matt, I want to have a look at who gets the emails, and everybody who's not on the ALAC, I don't want to get emails, and indeed I want to go around with everybody and say, do you want to be part of the RAA? And if you don't, you go off the mailing list. And I can imagine there are a lot of people who want to go off the list. Centra has got... And I will work on the longer term, which is once we've got our heads around 3.7.8 and the documentation, because there are some things being developed that say this is what accuracy means, this is what reasonableness. So some of those issues are being dealt with. Not all of them. But our first task in this group is 3.7.8, label it compliance, and it will result in correspondence to the board saying, we are concerned that. That's the first term of reference. The second term of reference is longer term, which is to go through the final report and to identify issues that have not been addressed as part of the RAA. From the original GNSO list, and who is now has got... can clarify your terms of reference, and Evan, you'd like to speak.
Okay, and I want to speak to something you said about the fact that this is no longer associated with the GNSO, this is associated with ALAC. It's significant for the reasons I'm about to talk about, and this is where we are going beyond policy. One of the things that has come up time and time again is the opacity with which the entire negotiation process has gone on. Alan has made clear to us that, yes, there are reports that come out and there's comment periods that are made on those things, but we still have a situation where there are no observers from the ICANN community that are seeing what's going on. When this issue has come up earlier in the week, we received a response that this is a standard commercial negotiation between a client and a supplier, and I do not buy that explanation at all. ICANN is meant to be acting in the public service. We are representing a global public interest constituency, and I believe that we have a rationale to understand what is going on. And when they make a decision, for instance, that 378 is not part of the negotiations, we need to know why it wasn't made that way and who made the decision of what goes on the table and is off the table and so on. Thank you.
Chair. Ladies first.
Go ahead, Chair. I submit.
That is a bad word. Okay. Do we have... Now, look, there are four people I can think of to do the hard yards on that issue, that immediate issue, which is Garth, you, Evan, you, Carlton, myself, happy to start drafting something so that very soon we can go to the board and say, thank you for the briefing that you gave us. We still are concerned X, Y, Z. It's going to be about enforcement. It's going to be about the opacity of the process. And because Olivier is silly enough not to follow the conversation, we'll make him sign it.
Holly, it's Olivier for the transcript record. I'm actually listening. I'm using my fingers to do something else in the meantime, but my ears are currently
thank you very
busy
much.
Listening to you.
I just wanted to warn you, you're signing something. And what Centra will be doing, and really it would be helpful if other people aside from myself could help her, which is to go through the report, it's a long one, and to weed out the issues that are not part of the who is issue, that are not part of this 3.7.8. It is not an easy job, I've got to tell you. We spent a year and a half on some interesting long conversations, but to go through and pick out what in the RAA negotiations, and there were lots of recommendations, what still is an issue for this group. Matt has an action item on him to get rid of everybody that's not an ALAC member, so it becomes an ALAC working group, not a GNSO working group. That is not to say we can't talk to them, but...
Actually, I'm going to make a suggestion, Holly. Oh, sorry, Heidi's got her hand up.
Sorry, Holly. This is Heidi for the record. I don't believe you mean ALAC. I think you mean at large. Okay, so otherwise you're just restricting it to the 15 ALAC members on the at-large advisory committee. Sinned.
Okay. Sorry, Holly, actually, on reflection, I would go a step further and not automatically boot people just because they're not identified with at large. Our processes are still all open. At large is running the show. We are defining the agenda. But if somebody from GNSO who is not otherwise associated with at large wants to be a part of our effort, I would absolutely not keep them out by default.
I think maybe, though, what we do is say, this group has come to an end. This is the task we're now going to do. Do you want to join? Assume
exactly.
They are off the list and invite them if they still want to participate. You know, I agree with you.
Yeah.
People like Michele, in spite of yesterday's performance. Peter,
okay. Okay.
But I mean, I think we will eventually need to. People like Steve Metellitz was
right.
Very interested. Go back to the people who were interested, who were on the list, and say, this is what we're doing.
Okay. We're arguing over the mechanics as opposed to the intent. I'm just saying the intent is to say the agenda is going to at large. This is now becoming an end-user-focused effort. We will accept and appreciate the input of anyone that comes forward or wants to stick around. But having said that, appreciate that this is no longer a GNSO-driven agenda. This is an at-large-driven effort.
And for the staff, you don't have to take notes. I'll take notes and write them up. In my... No. I think... They're shutting me off. I think we've actually finished the business of what we were going to do. Seriously, we're going to continue. We've got Sintra identifying, and please, other people, help her identifying the longer-term issues. We have a small team that's going to work on the immediate issue of 3.7.8, the opacity and the compliance. And now the Who Is group in Carlton, who is the chair, is going to shut me up. Thank you very much.
I am not really going to shut you up, Mrs. Carlton, for the record.
Hi, this is Matt Ashtiani for the transcript record. We have five questions from Graham. I'm going to read them in reverse order. His first question says 3.7.7.9 Code of Practice Voluntary. Those are rules to be followed, not discretionary. Sorry, that was a comment. His other question is, says, how can a domain name holder be a CCTLD when they're not legal by virtue of CCNSO listing in IANA? I'll read it one more time. He says, how can a domain name holder be a CCTLD when they're not legal by virtue of CCNSO listing in IANA?
This is Carlton for the record. I'm not so sure what that means. And I don't even want to hazard a translation so if I might get it wrong. So I would respectfully ask for clarification on that one. This is Carlton for the record. I wanted to address the issue of the RA and the consensus policy making parts of it. For 3 years, we've been hearing every time you mention the RA, and that's from the time we had the registrants' rights, the pushback is, well, the RAA itself is not totally subject to consensus policy making. And if you try to explore a little bit further and say, well, tell me which parts of it are subject to consensus policy making, there are clauses there. So we ask for the clauses to be identified, the clauses that are subject to consensus policy making. The best I have come across is some of the clauses that are definitional. People say they are the ones that are subject to consensus policy making. I actually think that's a feint. I think it's a sleight of hand. I believe it is important to have a declarative statement from whomever to identify specifically which clauses in the RAA are subject to consensus policy making. I think it's very important to do that. Because up until yesterday, the rationale that was given for not including members of the community in the negotiations, even just sitting on your hands inside the room, was that it is a contractual obligation between two parties, and there is no need for the community to be there. The weakness of the argument is that the RAA is probably the single most important instrument that actually actuates ICANN. If ICANN didn't exist and didn't have contracts with people called registrars to potentiate the domain name system, then it would not need to exist. That is my opinion. And so I think it is a massive sleight of hand to say that the RAA should not be subject to consensus policy making. So my suggestion to the group is one of the first things we must do as a matter of reconstituting this registrant rights working group is to find out definitively what clauses in the RAA are subject to consensus policy making. Thank you.
Our chair is trying to escape to the door. We're recognizing JJ.
Thank you. You're all seated, are you? No, I was born before John Jeffrey, so JJ is mine. Look, Chair of the ALAC, I'd like to make a statement here and have it recorded. When I was on the board of ICANN, a small number of us, two, perhaps three board members, had a long fight throughout the ALAC review process. And one of the points I made, and which led to the decision of the board by finally accepting that the ALAC should appoint a member of the board with voting rights, I remember I had used the term an act of faith, in the lay sense, of course. That is, that we must give movement and impetus, because we found that there had already been improvements on the ALAC side, but that it required further encouragement from the board and from the rest of the community. And we could not remain with the judgment, which I then heard, that the ALAC was not as efficient nor as meaningful as some other parts of the community. It is upon that basis that a small number of us argued and finally won the day, unfortunately not to have two members seated but one. But after all, with voting rights, it was better than nothing. I'm making this point, Chair, because I feel it unfortunate, and as a former ambassador, the word unfortunate is just before nuclear attack. I find it unfortunate that we give a public image of things which need to be sorted out before an official session of any part of the ALAC. So I think that it is not wise to proceed in this way, nor is it wise to give an image of oneself, of our group, of which I am part, of dysfunctionalities and perhaps a lack of prior consultation and understanding on who occupies which role. So this may be a rather rough statement, but as someone who is less involved in this particular item than in others of our agenda today, I wanted to make this clear. Thank you.
Thank you, JJ. We are at the stage where this is since we have agreed on a way forward with respect to registrant rights, and we have agreed to harmonize certain aspects of the work that is coming up between the WIS Working Group and Registrant Rights Working Group. I think it is just for us to put the various pieces in play and move on. So at this stage, I really would call this session to a close. Thank you very much.